Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want to get right to the topic today. We're going to be talking more, a continuation, if you would, from the previous program, talking about the heart of our nation. We talked about legalities versus morality, law versus morality. What does that mean, and how do we as Christians, who live before God in view of His mercy and because of His grace, be empowered to do the best we can in walking out a life that most lines up, with what God is saying. It's like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do, but things I do that I hate. But then he goes, but Jesus Christ empowers me to do that. And it's like, well, nobody's perfect, but we can always say when you're walking with God, because of His grace, because of His goodness, I'm walking better than I was yesterday. And that's one thing we can do because we're constantly growing in it. But we have this big argument or view or discussion across the land today about legalism and laws, and that if you change a law, all of a sudden it's not wrong anymore. If you end a law, all of a sudden it's not right anymore. And it's just, the reality is, laws come, laws go. But God's law is forever, and it's written on the hearts of man. It's called the moral law. And we talked about that. You gotta go back and see that. You can see it at VFNTV.com. But there comes a day when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others that have stood, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and there's many more. I'm just going off the top of my head right here. George Washington, General George Washington, that we just stood up, and take a right stand at a very difficult time. It takes courage to be able to do that. When you think about courage, that you can put courage into people, but it's an environment today that where is courage, and why are people being courageous? We see it in sports where people scream and holler and they want their team to be able to win, and it's like they leave with this big exhaustion going like, phew, man, they burned all this energy out. But when it comes to living their life for God and fighting for their family and standing up for God, and it's like, where's the courage in that? And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think about these guys. They were living in a day when Israel was up under an evil government that had laws that were contrary to God. And so their moral behavior was contrary to what the law said. But you know what? That is what ahead and went with what God said. They didn't give in to the law of the land when it was immoral or unjust, because any unjust law is not a law at all, as Dr. Martin Luther King so informed us, as the accuracy of God's law and even our Constitution, because that's what it says. And so when you think about that, we need courage today, not courage to be religious zealots, not courage to try to push some sort of conservative mindset, just courage to stand, courage to say, I know that you don't like the way that I'm living my life. I know that you don't, that you, some of my presence just causes, conviction in your life or whatever, and you think you need to change me. I love you, and I'm not gonna push myself on you, but I gotta stand for God because I love God. It takes courage to do that. And we're facing a day and time when you think about what's happening in the Middle East, you think what's happening and beginning to happen with businesses across the United States and ministries, that it's coming. It's like, are you going to please man? Are you going to please God? Are you going to please, your customer base, your corporate? You see corporations that are just immediately saying, we're going to go left, we're going to go right, we're going to go straight, we're going to go forward. But it's all based on money. That's where people saying, we're going to take your money from you. But this is what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to stand for Him. This is what He says. He says it in Matthew chapter 10. He says that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Think about that. In other words, the one that created the universe, that if we deny Him, He'll deny us before the Father, before God. But He says, if you'll confess me and acknowledge me before men, He said, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. I want you to take a look here. This is Bishop Harry Jackson speaking on a CBN interview about, this is kind of where we are talking about, we need courageous leadership. And then we're going to have also, Bernice King, the CEO of King, the King Center in Atlanta, how important these days are to begin to look at those who have stood for what's right and God responded. Take a look.
Religious freedom laws in states like Indiana and Arkansas are creating a debate across the nation with differing opinions, like conservative talk show host Bill O'Reilly calling out Christian leaders saying they aren't taking a stand. Joining me to give his insight on the matter is Christian leader Bishop Harry Jackson of Reconciled Church. Bishop Jackson, you're engaging the culture when it comes to this debate and other issues in America. In this case, would you say O'Reilly is correct?
I think that he is correct, but he called out the wrong people. He mentioned some names, such as Pat Robertson and other people, simply saying, hey, where are they now? But essentially, we have a church that is falling asleep. I believe that if you take a stand, sometimes there's a backlash. See, years ago, when they were debating the gay marriage versus traditional marriage issue in Washington, D.C., I was living in the district at that time. I had death threats, people slipping notes under my door, people following me through the city. The police even had to have a special surveillance of the place that I was living. It was an awesome, pressure-filled time. I went on O'Reilly Factor at that point, and he told the nation that folks had leaked my physical, personal address all throughout the region. Well, that's one of the reasons why people don't speak up. There are three things the average pastor fears more than anything. Mm. Number one, that he is going to be made a spectacle of on social media or in various avenues electronically these days. Your career can be over and ended in just a matter of days if you're seen in the wrong light. So they've got that fear. Secondly, many times within our congregations, there are people that sit there, they want to be encouraged, they want the word, but they don't want to be mobilized to do a lot. And so it really puts you in a precarious situation. Some pastors have been fired because of all that. Mm. And then third and finally, I believe that we're living in a day in which we have to come together in unity, like the Reconciled Church movement that you talked about earlier, that if we collaborate, we work together, then it's hard to pick out one person in the front of the line and take them out. I may speak up today, you speak up tomorrow, Pat Robertson speaks out next week, and that would be very powerful. So regarding religious liberties, yes, there seemed to be a silence, but many times the media does not want to play or give space or airtime to some of the voices that God has raised up. Mm. And so we need to come together, collaborate, work together, pray hard, and I think our voices will be heard.
I'm hearing your experiences as you stood up and continue to stand up for Christian principles and matters of faith. In light of how detrimental those experiences have been, what keeps you going?
What a question to ask appropriately. I believe there's a courage that comes to us as we pray, as we seek the Lord. I cut my teeth on watching things like Christian television, like the 700 Club, looking at people like Pat Robertson, John Hagee, many others, and their example has energized and encouraged me. So I believe that what's kept me going is the hope that we're going to get a critical, radical mass of people who are going to move together, and we're going to show the winsome, loving character of Christ, but we're also going to declare the truth as we understand it from the Scriptures. So I think for years we've been working at telling the truth, at being a conscience to the nation. I think, however, at this time, there needs to be more of us committed to collaborating and working together.
What do you think God's message is to His people, the church, through these times?
Well, I believe that there is a message we shared on the 700 Club called the crumbling shield, that is the message, that the shield is crumbling and God is saying to us, wake up, wake up. I want to move on your behalf, but I need a critical mass of Christians, as it was in the days of Abraham, as he cried out to God about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord would have spared the whole culture if he had a critical mass, just 10 righteous men. And I believe that God is looking for a number of righteous church leaders, businessmen, politicians, and members, priests and prophets, who will speak up in his name.
And you are certainly one of those. Bishop Harry Jackson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you much, Efren.
That's so powerful. You think about the three things: reputation, you know, I'm going to lose my job if I ask these Christians to actually do what I'm preaching to them, and the lack of unity. Those three things, we begin to stand up together in humility, in the love of God, you know, asking God to move. These things can happen. We can begin to turn, you know, the people, the soul of the nation. We're not trying to save a country. We're not trying to save a nation. We want to save the people in the nation, the soul of the nation. And when we get back from this break, we're going to hear from Bernice King, the CEO of King Center, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, understanding that God calls us to a spiritual movement to impact our society and culture. More when we get back from the break.
Yeah, that was Bishop right before the break, Bishop, you know, Harry Jackson. And I thought it was pretty powerful, you know, many things that he said. Mm-hmm. And but the three things I think that stand out, in addition to critical movement, critical mass, is he said, you know, reputation. You know, why don't we do, you know, I just was just recently hearing I would say young minister, but we're not young anymore. Mm-hmm. We really are in our minds. And so he was talking about, you know, he was expecting his congregation to do something. So he's talking, you know, what God says. Mm-hmm. And the numbers started going down. And he was talking about, you know, basically preach this thing empty, you know. And it's, I think that's because we tried to do what God's called us to do in the confinement of something instead of the world.
Wow.
You know, it's difficult to speak to people that are not planning on doing what you ask, mm-hmm. what God says to do. And mm-hmm. if your job is to be the message or messenger to deliver that message to a people who are not going to listen, that causes for a lot of therapy and yeah. other things like that. But then, you know, reputation, the world immediately is going to ridicule you. I mean, it's a weird how it works. I mean, you may have members of your own family when you start saying, you know, this is not the way God would want us to go. And all of a sudden, you always do this and you self-righteous and you, that's ridicule. And it's a typical process. And I wish I had those steps, but it says, you know, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you. Mm. Then they fight you, and then you win. Yeah. That's kind of the rules of something like that. And so many people give up, and they just don't want to be ridiculed. And it's like, well, if you listen, when you're walking and doing what God's telling you to do, you know, Jesus said, you know, even members of your own family will ridicule you. Mm. And you know, he talks about that in Matthew chapter 10. He said, "Don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword," mm-hmm. and to turn people that are not going to stand with him, they're going to be adversarial to you. And so ridicule, I think also, if you haven't gotten this book, you need to read the book, The Torch and the Sword, because this 12-year-old girl in this vision, it's a vision that, I mean, she just pushed past the ridicule. And one of the people in this vision that could not move past the ridicule was her very own mother. So she had to even leave her mother behind as she progressed forward. 12-year-old girl, and she faced the inevitable battle in God. I mean, this is just how it always is. And today, people feel like they're right if everybody loves them. But Jesus said that beware when everybody's okay with you, because this is how they treat false people mm-hmm. that aren't real, the false prophets. And so the first thing he talked about was about reputation. You know, I mean, I guess go ahead and just throw it away if you know, just, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Like, brace yourself, because today, this you can get reputation dot whatever.
That's it.
I mean, It is rough, and it's going to be rough. And let everybody know, write your own narrative before it happens, that who you really are. I think about Steve Hill during the Brownsville revival for years, and he just constantly said, you know, I was a thief, and I stole from you, and I did these things and these bad things and these things. And that's actually what encourages people to find out that we're sinners saved by grace. They want to know our testimony. And the thing is that outside of God, there's no difference in anybody. But when Jesus comes and saves us, it's Jesus that's the difference. It's not us and our righteous behavior. It's Jesus. Mm. And so let people know. And because the only good in us is God, and people need to know that. The second they start projecting, or you start saying, that you're good, you're setting yourself up for a fall, because even Jesus said, who are you calling good? The only good in me, Jesus said, is the Father. And so when we get past that good thing and get into the God thing, then, you know, we can begin to move. And another thing that he said was, and we're going to have Bernice King up in just a moment, powerful CEO of the King Center, daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who would know better, you know, and understanding how to stand up for what's right. And the second thing you talked about was mobilization, you know, and you have to mobilize. And
third thing,
one of the things you talked about was the job. Mm-hmm. If you start losing your job as a minister, if you try to mobilize them and get them to activate and to do something, and you know, what part of don't you get that I'm not going to do something? Yeah. And what I think about James chapter 1, verse 22. You know, read that right there real quick, like 3 through 25. Think about this, about being doing versus hearing.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
So there is a way to be blessed, and it's about being a doer. And when we get back from the break in a moment, we're going to talk about the third thing, and that actually is the unity, coming together. And this is what he says. He says the place of the command of blessing is when we do things together and do God's things together, not somebody's idea of things together. And but you have really like four different characteristics of people when you think about that. You know, if you're talking to people who aren't going to do it, you have, I guess you could say this, you have like people who are like hearers. They hear it and they love to hear it. Then you have people that are doers. They don't hear anything, they just do. Then you have people who are like hoodoo. You know, they are what they do. Mm-hmm. Don't you see what I'm doing? And then finally, you have the people that are hear-do. They hear the word of God and they do it. And he says they're blessed in all they do. So you got people that are, you put them in kind of like four different categories. And in regards to people that gather together as a church, right? You have some people, and the Word of God talks about this, who love hearing the Word of God. I mean, they just love it, you know, and they'll come on Sunday and they'll hear the message, right? And they'll go, oh my goodness. I've never heard a message. That was so good. Then I'm going to come back again next week, John, and I'm going to hear another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they love hearing it so much. It's like, you know what? I hear there's a conference coming to town. And you can hear like 3 days worth of good stuff, right?
That's right.
And so the person says, you're here. Because they're hearers. They don't only hear now, but they're so encouraged. Matter of fact, they may stay with you for 20 years hearing what you have to say, complimenting you, evaluating you, giving you report cards, what's going on, telling you repeated yourself, right? And they're hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. They're here. So you have to understand there's a big difference between a hearer and a doer. Jesus, the word of God says, you know, they flattered me with their lips, but their hearts were far from me, right? And then you have the other folks. You know, I was talking to somebody one time, and they were talking about, you know, I don't have any time to read the word. I'm just so busy, and I don't have time really to go to church. But, you know, I love God. I just like doing for him. I'm just a doer. Yeah, I'm a doer. I just like doing. And so I do this good work, and I do that good work. And if there's something going on, I go do this and go do that. And, you know, I'm just a doer. As a matter of fact, you have a lot of doers that come together for pancake breakfasts and stuff. And they go, you know, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, you are? Well, I'm doing this. Then there's kind of competitions like, well, I'm doing this. And somebody else says, well, I'm doing that. And I'm doing more than you. It's like whoever has the biggest pile of do feels like they have the biggest pile of value, right? I call that the do-do meetings. And so then you have the hoodoo. Now, there's a lot of hoodoo going on, too. Now, hoodoo, not voodoo, but hoodoo. Hoodoo is what we find out in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus talks about that you can actually move in gifts. You can sing, you know, you can dance in the Holy Ghost.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can preach, you can effectively use the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, and people can be delivered, and you can prophesy. And Jesus says this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what you're doing. And but then Jesus says, but I never knew you. But they don't care about that. These folks are like, you know, listen, you need to book me. You need to book me because, wow, you know, I'm an evangelist. And and as an evangelist, and I love, I'm not saying anything against evangelists, sure, but we're just talking about the hoodoos. That they just, you know, you don't, they can't settle too long, because if they settle too long, you're going to find out, you know, who they are by their fruit. Mm. What I do is I think about Jim Baker. Jim Baker wrote a book, and in this particular book, there it is. This book, he wrote it, and this book, he entitled it, what was it?
I was wrong.
And what he did was he thought hoodoo, because he would see people come and minister and gifts and prophesy and miracles would happen. But then he'd go have dinner with them, mm-hmm, and they were mean and hateful, and they just wouldn't line up with, but he just figured God doesn't have an issue with it. Mm-hmm. That's why his book's entitled, I was wrong. And so, but hoodoo's a big thing, because if you can play an instrument, I mean, they will actually put you on a stage and hire you. And somebody told me that one of the most important things in the church is people that involved in doing hoodoo things. Wow. Right. I'm like, oh, well, you know, why don't people just do it, you know, type of thing. And so, you know, music's a pretty powerful industry. You know, ask, you know, Star Search, American Idol, X Factors, and all those different things. They're looking for, you know, we will, if you can do that, man, we got some hoodoo going on. We can make some money on you. Mm-hmm. And there's no difference in that if we do that in God's folks. You know, one particular person, you know, said they in ministry, and they actually were facing a lot of debt that was in front of them. Mm. So what they did was, this they openly said it. They just went and said, you know, I went and booked a lot of speaking engagements as an evangelist to pay off my debt. I'm like, you're telling me that's a good thing? Right. He went to all these different congregations that were pastored by these churches. These pastors were pastored by these churches and took their resources to pay your debt off, because you got a who on you, or you got some do on you. You know what I'm saying? And that's like a hoodoo, you know. And that's a big deal, because, you know, when you look at Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, I believe, about, you know, they were tied up in like who can do this and who can do that, and he's like, listen, all these things are submitted to God. Every one of them are subject to the prophet. You know, that it's not about that. And then finally, you have the hairdo. And this is what God's looking for. And this is what Pastor Jackson was talking about when he was talking about in the interview, Bishop Harry Jackson, when he was talking about, you know, that we got to mobilize. We got to do something about this. And think about this. Isn't it unjust if somebody's telling you you don't have to do what you're hearing, but God's going to say to you, away from me, I never knew you. He says, whatever I entrusted to you, you're going to have to do something with that. And you did nothing with it. You're not saved by works, but works is a byproduct of the very fact that you exist and love God. For example, you say you love your wife. Well, you come home sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, I just, you know, and think about it. It's just something you do because you're married. There's something that you do. When you're a believer, you actually means you believe what he says, and you are his disciple. You follow his teachings. Following his teachings does not save you, but if you are saved, guess what you strive to do in view of his grace and his mercy? Follow his teaching. So here do. So when he's talking about, you know, you have the, you know, the biggest fears of folks, and this is not just fears of ministers, this is fear of Christians in general, is reputation. Well, that's going to, you know, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Mm-hmm. The Son, God himself made himself of no reputation. You got to practice it. And by the way, if you begin to tell your own narrative that we're sinners. We are sinners saved by grace. If God does not uphold me, I'll be in sin. That's I'd fall. It's just,
that's right.
And it's like T.D. Jakes said, you know, before I met Jesus, you know, I've sinned. And after I met him, I sinned. But by the grace of God, every single day, and the forgiveness of God, it's not about being sinless as a Christian. That's not what it's about. It's about being forgiven for the sin that's been committed. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference, because look around. You know, it's not about
catch a clue, right?
It's not about that. It's about there's forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And so you can't preach self-righteousness. Mm. So you got to let your folks know, and we got to know. It's like, we got to stand up. Listen, we already know that you're not that good.
Agree with us.
Just playing with you. Your whole church says amen. And so But the thing is, we got to stand up. We got, and the second thing was that you can lose your job. That's money. You know, that when you start telling people, you're going to have to do this, I'm sorry, I appreciate you serving on the board, I appreciate you teaching Sunday school, but, you know, put the chalk down and go do something.
Yes.
It's better to do something with 1% of what you know than know 100% and do nothing. Because we're known by our fruit and what we do. But what we do is important. We got to do in regards to what Jesus said in regards to the Sermon on the Mount, that we're supposed to love and be humble and passionate, but yet we're supposed to be proactive and be in the light of the world and standing up for unjustness that's taking place in the world. And the last thing he talked about, the third thing, was mobilization. Well, that's people that are going to hear what God says and do it. And it's not mobilizing some political faction to push some legalistic system. Listen, we're not called to save nations. We're called to save souls. Human beings, people matter. And just in case you don't know this or not, the person that you think that's some different political persuasion than you, God loves them. Different nation or nationality than you that you have issues with, guess what? God loves them. So we got to get on God's side. I remember when the angel showed up with Joshua, and he was about to face a battle, and they're already weakened in their flesh. You think, God, you want me to go fight a battle? And we have to go through circumcision 4 days before fighting the battle? I mean, think about that. Okay, in 4 days, we're going to march against the strongest, most fortified city called Jericho. The first thing we want you to do is cut your flesh. And it's like, and then we're going to march, right? And so, and they did. 4 days later, they marched, and the walls fell down, which means it's organizing around what God says, and it's not the strength of our flesh, but it's the strength of our spirit, and it's putting our flesh aside. And so this angel shows up in the midst of that. And Joshua asks this angel.
He had a question.
What political party are you in? What persuasion? Are you for me or are you against me? And the thing is that we have the same tendency of folks is they start thinking that God's on their side. Mm. And the moment you think God's on your side, you left God's side. Really, you have. Because when he asked the question, God said, the angel said, I'm on God's side. I mean, think about that. I mean, everybody today would probably say, well, he's totally against Jericho. I mean, he's totally against this evil city and all that. And he's for me because we've marched in the wilderness. Right. You know, we ate manna in the morning, and then we got water from a rock, and I did what Moses said. And I mean, he's going to say I'm for Joshua. But God's for, he's for human beings.
Yeah,
he's for all of us, you know, and he's definitely for his son. And so making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life is very important. And then doing what he says, hearing the words of Jesus and do it, we're going to have to refigure and reconfigure ourselves again. And I believe this whole thing is happening. And this is what the Lord, you know, said to us before we go to a break. And Bernice King, Dr. King's daughter, is going to, we're going to have a segment with her. It's very important. We're talking about this. But, that this is all happening. Everything that's happening right now around you is happening because God wants to bring in a harvest of souls, not countries, souls, not politics, souls. And so the thing is, we got to get in love with what God's in love with, which is human beings. We got to reposition ourselves outside of our brand names and begin to say, you know what? Do I have to call you by a title or can I call you brother? I mean, come on, what are we going to do here? And then we got to come together around Jesus, and we got to begin to have a conversation about how are we going to move from this point on. It's not against anything. It's for God. If God's wanting to save souls, and he is, and I believe God's about to pour himself out in the greatest harvest that we've ever seen probably in the history of mankind, but we'll have to participate in that. We'll have to listen to him and how he's going to do it because it's going to require workers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do you want to be a part of Azusa Street 2.0? You know what I'm
saying?
Do you? I don't care what age you are, and I want to challenge you right now. You can contact us at vfntv.com or call us at the toll free number 844-40-VFNTV. You can see the number at the bottom of your screen. But listen, maybe you want to be an intern at VFNTV. It's called a VFN internship. And begin to say, you know, I want to prepare myself. I want to learn media. I want to learn the language of what's going on. But I want to be a part of this end time harvest, or at least this harvest that's coming really soon on the face of the earth. But we have a place for you if you qualify as a VFN intern. We have a place for you, and we're excited about what God is doing. When we get back, we're going to see Bernice King, the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is the CEO of the King Center in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to give us some insight about what we need to do and how we need to do it, and from wisdom from her father. We're thinking about, and I want to encourage you, I want you to call us, you know, if you're if anywhere in the Southeastern United States.
Yes.
You know, and of course our audience is broad, but if you're interested in standing up, if you're interested in being the light, not being radical, not doing dark things, but, you know, beginning to explore the idea, what do we need to do? How do we need to do it? And begin to stand together in this. I think it's very important. And what I think about, you can call us at toll-free at 844-40-VFN-TV, or you can contact us online at VFNTV.com, but say, you know, I'm interested in more information about standing. And we're not talking about any kind of political or anything like that, but it's like, as Christians, we got to begin to come together. Remember, our daddy, our father's going, I just want my children to get along. You know, I want them to love each other. He said, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Love each other. By this, people who ain't mine going to know you are mine. Hmm. So the whole thing is that if we come together in this, not for your expression, for Jesus, you know, for Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I think about the Moravians, right?
Yes.
You know, in the statement for, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, we talk about that is that there's, you know, there's very specific things that we agree upon, but for everything else, there's liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised, you know, and whatever, if that's what you're doing, you know, and you're denying yourself caffeine for whatever reason, you know, if you're doing it unto God, that's good. Hey. It's a God thing, you know. You know, for me, I just thank you for a cup of coffee. And so, but we got to come together and just appreciate each other and the diversity. I mean, so aren't you just tired of seeing this? And don't you tired of seeing yourself all over again? I mean, and so I think about, you know, so what it is, it's a spiritual movement. And a spiritual movement is, you think about what happened with, you know, Billy Graham, and the spiritual movement was so strong, what God did through this one man and those that joined him, that even while he rests on his front porch, his son is still riding the wave today, Franklin, and a wave that's just hitting every continent in a beautiful way. And it's like, but who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to be the ones that say, you know, I'm going to stand up in my generation? And I really don't believe, and it could be, but I just don't believe it's going to be one person anymore. I think it's going to be a whole body thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they're not going to understand. And it's in numbers. Think about this. You know, the Pharisees who were coming against God, religious folks coming against God, they were so concerned about what the political views were of the people. They wanted to kill the disciples and they wanted to kill Jesus, but they wouldn't do it because it had the ramifications of it, which means this. When you build a critical mass of people who are in agreement with God, that just shivers the quivers of these people who are driven by darkness. You know, so the bigger your number is, and this is, you think about this too, that when Abraham was interceding for this particular city, it was a city that God wanted to save, that God was willing to save, and Abraham started talking about, you know, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, would you save it? And he went all the way down to, if there's 10. So there just needed to be a critical mass of 10 people who stood up for God, and God would have spared that entire city. So often we throw our hands up. There's many, many people in America who stand, and maybe you're watching now. But if you stand alone, it's not going to work. We got to stand together in critical mass for God in unity, and we'll watch God do some awesome things. And so it's a spiritual movement. It's not, I like what Bernice King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter said when she said that everybody kind of, matter of fact, listen to her now, watch this.
I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement and its assignment was to civil.
So you think about that, his assignment, the spiritual assignment was to civil rights. And so it was so impacting. You just start identifying with that. And it's like, what is the spiritual movement today? I mean, God has something to say, but we've got to hear God out. We got to search him, and the scriptures specifically tell us, you know, come together, you know, get this critical mass together, be in agreement, you know, things that it's just not that complicated. And the example that's been set was set by many people. But when you talk about where we are today, I think that the one who lines up, and I've been saying it all along, you know, if you've been following us, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., mm-hmm. you know, a man of God, a man who understands, a man who wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. We're saved by grace, but you can say what you want to. He stood in the name of God.
That's right.
He stood in love. He stayed under the constitutional mm-hmm. law. He stood up for just laws. He's willing to pay the penalty for unjust law. And he shifted a nation.
Yeah.
It's such a shift that people tried to ride his coattails and change it to 1,000 different things. But you heard what his daughter just said. Mm-hmm. That wasn't his
original intent. Yeah.
It wasn't the original intent. It was his assignment. And so I think about this when I'm thinking about the King Center. I'm sure we can learn so much, I'm sure, mm-hmm. from Bernice King. But here's what she's talking about in regards to, you know, we got to begin. We're all tied together. And if you are a member of the body of Christ, the Christian, he said that we're supposed to be tightly woven together, you know, doing the work of the Lord, building each other up in love, and this way doing the work of God. We've got to somehow come together and let who we are in Christ be knit together. Matter of fact, listen to Bernice King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter.
I'm trying to figure out what my legacy is, but I do know that I have been called to represent a standard of excellence and integrity. I see that we live in a world where there's almost no standards. It's like whatever works for you. You know, we say as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, but what does that really mean? Because as Daddy said, we're caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny, and what affects one directly affects all indirectly. And I can't be all that I ought to be until you all that you ought to be, and you can't be all that you ought to be until I am all that I ought to be. And so we impact each other.
We impact each other.
Wow.
This is such a timely moment for us as Christians, Christ followers, and that we're Christian Americans. It's global. Our brothers and sisters who are being killed in the Middle East, they're part of us.
Yeah.
The ones that were beheaded in Libya on the shores of Tripoli, that was our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The little children that are suffering, Pastor
Saeed
in Iran, we're all one. We're American Christians. So in America, we can stand up like Dr. King did.
We're global Christians.
We're global Christians, but inside of America,
yeah.
We have an assignment. We have, our assignment now is to begin to stand up, to be civil Christians in a civil land, in a civil country, to stand up for justice and love in such a way that Dr. King did. And we have something so specific. We've been educating over time, you know, about this and why it's so important. And, you know, some of the books that, you know, Dr. Avita King just wrote called King's Rules. It's so important to begin to understand the integrity behind that spiritual movement and what God was doing. And Dr. King's dad, Daddy King, and how he was a man of love, and how despite all of the injustices, that he loved God and his son, Dr. King, King Jr. loved God, and that Dr. Avita King loves God. And it's just, it's amazing when we begin to say, you know what, we can stand like that. But the thing about it is, and hopefully you can see an earlier program where we begin to talk about, you know, we're kind of just having this narrative, this conversation now. And I want to have it with you. I want to have it with people that are going to want to stand, not religious zealots, not with people who feel like they're better than someone, not uses the word like them or they, but it's like us, that you want to stand up for mankind. You want to stand up in our generation, whatever that means. To Jesus, it meant crucifixion. To Peter, it meant crucifixion. To James, the brother of Jesus, it meant being pushed off a wall. I mean, you think about these different things, what it meant standing up in the day. For Tyndall and other
Wycliffe,
it meant, you know, being burned at a stake, being dug up out of a grave, living a life, but they got the word of God in their hand. You know, for Dr. King, it meant being massacred on a balcony in a hotel in Tennessee. I mean, but they stood. They stood, and I'll tell you what, I'm telling you very specifically, it's just time for us to stand. It's time for us to stand, and I just want to challenge you. You know, it's the beginning of it. We're having a conversation here. Contact us at VFNTV.com. Call us at toll-free at 844-40-VFN-TV. And I just want to pray for you now. Father God, Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for Bernice King and the King Center. I thank you, Lord, for Dr. King. I thank you, Lord, for Bishop Jackson, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the people who hear your word and do it. God, I pray that you would just supernaturally begin to gather us together and that you would speak to us, that you would lead us, God, and that you would deliver us from any religious spirit and any self-righteousness, Lord, that we would humbly stand and hear you and bring glory to you, Father God. And we ask you not for a country. We ask you for the souls in this country and even of the world, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to send revival in Jesus' name. Amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.